Romans chapter 12. That's where we will start in just a moment. There's something I want you to look at here on the overhead, the PowerPoint. I've got it set up. Okay, now some of you may know what this says. I don't know. Can anybody read that? There might be somebody here. I don't know. Okay, fine. So yeah, this says God loves you. But now, some of you didn't know what it says. That's Greek. Some of you didn't know what it says. I said, right, Brother Mark, it was Greek to me. Glory to God. Well, the only way that you would have known that is if you were familiar with that dialect, correct? And if you did not know that dialect, and if I had been successful in putting something up there that nobody knew, you would have all looked at it and says, no, I don't know what that is, Brother Martin. Then I would have flashed up, God loves you, and you would have said, oh, that's neat. Okay, well, here's the thing. If you had been trained to recognize that language, it would have been no problem for you, right? You would have known immediately what that said. Okay, now let's think back. Most of us probably can't go back this far, but just think in terms of like little children. You know, you can show them a book and they'll have it turned upside down and sideways and they'll pretend like they're reading when they're really not. They don't have a clue. That's because their minds have not yet been trained to recognize what is in the book. Now, let's take this even further. I'm going to show you some things, help you try to understand some things tonight. Why it's so difficult to get some people to listen to you when you're talking to them about the things of God. Have you ever been there where you just get so frustrated you want to slap the face off of somebody? And thank God you restrain. But it's frustrating, is it not? And you cannot figure out why they cannot see what you know. Well, there are reasons. Like this example here. If you had not been familiar, with the dialect, whatever dialect I would have put up there, you wouldn't know what it says. But if your mind had been trained to recognize such things, then you would know. Now also, even though we look at God loves you, and we recognize that, the only reason we recognize that is because we've been trained to recognize that. If we were from another country and did not understand English, we could see that and have no idea what it says. You know what I'm saying? All right, in Romans chapter 12, look in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here there is an instruction about a change that is supposed to take place on the inside of us, only this change is supposed to take place in the area of our mind. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now let's take a look at another verse. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this is a variation on the theme of what we just read over there in Romans 12. But it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So again, what we have is a renewing or a changing process, and it has to do with our mind. Now let's take a look at another place. Look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and one verse, verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, this word mind, it kind of goes along with the other two places we looked at there in Romans and Ephesians. But now let me expand what this is saying, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's take the word mind and insert a definition. Let this thought process be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, now that may not seem to mean a whole lot to you, but that is a powerful statement. Now, we could go on in this passage and get an understanding of what he's saying, but we just want to look at this one verse. Let this thought process be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that tell you? Well, Brother Martin, I don't know. Why don't you tell me what it tells me? What it tells me is this. I have the ability to think the same way Jesus thinks. Now, that may, again, not seem like a major issue until you start thinking about how people think, especially Christians. And it becomes plainly obvious, not everybody thinks the same, do we? If we're not all thinking the same, then can we say we all have the same thought process as Jesus? Some of us may. Some of us may be way off. And some of us may be really close. But nevertheless, if we're all thinking differently, then we can't say that we have the same thought process as Jesus. And yet this scripture tells us we have the potential to think the same way that Jesus thinks. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. Look at one more passage, or another one, not just one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And for right now, we're going to look at one verse. It says in verse 16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Okay, now let's just dwell on this one for a few moments. We've already found out that there is a renewing process that's supposed to take place in the area of our mind, or another way to put it would be in the area of our thought process. Then we also have discovered that we do have the potential to think the same way as Jesus thinks. Then here in this verse it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Okay? Now let's think about this one for a moment. Consider it this way. Who is in a position where their mind or thought process is such to where they are able or qualified to instruct the Lord? Who is in a position that they can give instruction to Jesus? I'm not, but I am in a position to receive instruction from Jesus. It says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Now, we're not going to dig into this, you know, in great detail right at the moment, but let's just consider it this way. We are not in a position to instruct him, but it says that we have the mind of Christ. Well, we know that we don't literally have his mind. Another way to put that would be we have the ability, or we have, put it this way, we get born again, we now have access to the same mental comprehension and thought process as Jesus. Okay. Now, that's just one way to kind of look at that. But we're not in a position to instruct him. Now, what happens when you become born again? Well, the moment that you become born again, you become, you know, as referred to in Scripture, a babe in Christ. Now, how many of you receive, well, you know, Marlon and Pam, they have a new baby. Now, if you were to ask Marlon, who does the teaching at home, baby or mom and dad, my guess is they're going to tell you it's mom and dad. The baby is not in a position to do any instructing. In fact, the communication between mom and dad and the baby right now, it's a lot of motion and signal and wailing and weeping and gnashing. No. Cutting of teeth. You see what I'm saying? They don't do a very good job right now verbally communicating. And so baby and mom and dad are all learning how to communicate with each other. Likewise, when we become born again, we have the mind of Christ, but it's empty. See what I'm saying? We have to be taught. And he's kind of, in this verse, saying, look, you have the mind of Christ, but are you in a position to teach him? No. Now, let's turn to another place here. Turn over to John chapter 3. You're going to see all this tie together here really well here in just a little bit. John chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Stop right there. Now I want to ask you something. Very easy question. Was this before or after Jesus was crucified? Okay, so Jesus is alive here, correct? And it's before Jesus was crucified. Now, next question. When was it possible for people to become born again before or after Jesus had been crucified. After, okay. So then, based upon that, at this point in time, it was impossible for anyone to be born again, correct? Therefore, Nicodemus is not born again, is he? If he is not born again, does he have the mind of Christ? No. Very good. Now let's continue. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Jesus is talking about two things here. He's talking about spiritual birth and natural birth. And obviously the natural birth comes first, then the spiritual birth hopefully comes after that. Now obviously if you don't accept Jesus, the spiritual birth never takes place. But notice the interaction here. What you have are two totally different mindsets at work. Jesus is speaking from the perspective of a born-again mindset. Nicodemus is speaking from the perspective of a lost person's mindset. And Jesus says, but Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, now, he's serious about this. You know, he's got some real questions. He wants to find out what's going on here. And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus looks at Jesus and he says, but Jesus, how is this? I mean, how does a man get born a second time? What, is he supposed to somehow enter back into his mother's womb? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about natural things. I am talking about spiritual things. But Nicodemus, you keep reading in this, Nicodemus just didn't get it. And so what Jesus literally was doing was sowing seed, if you will, trying to get Nicodemus prepared for what could happen later on after Jesus, you know, had been crucified and raised from the dead and all that. But in this passage, you have two people communicating. Both of them are speaking from the perspective of what makes perfect sense to them. To Jesus, it makes perfect sense that you get born again. To Nicodemus, he has no idea. And it makes no sense whatsoever. He's thinking, how does your mother give birth to you again? And I can just imagine the kind of thoughts that would have just, you know, shot through Nicodemus. But what if mama's dead? How does this happen? I don't understand. Why does she move? How do I get small again? I don't know, Jesus. And Jesus says, he tries to let Nicodemus know there's a spiritual and there's a natural. Nicodemus, you're talking natural. I'm talking spiritual. Okay. Now, have you ever tried to reason with a lost person over Scripture? Have you ever tried to explain spiritual life things to a lost person and they don't get it? And you keep saying, but it's right here. Look, read it. And you turn your Bible around and they read it out loud to you. And you look at them and say, don't you get it? And they say, no. Why not? It's right there in front of you. How can you not understand? Because I don't. Well, here's what it means. Explain, explain, explain. Now do you get it? No. Just like Nicodemus. You see this? He didn't understand. Why? Because he did not have a mind infused with spiritual life. And Jesus, now Jesus already knew this. And again, he's talking kingdom principles to try to get everybody set up for when they could get born again. But now bring this home today. Let's say it isn't Jesus. Let's say it's Bob or Susie. Talking instead of Nicodemus, they're just talking to Nick, okay? And they're trying to explain these spiritual things to Nick. To get Nick to understand about being born again. Nick obviously has experienced a natural birth, right? Because he's there. Now, Nick was born naturally, but with spiritual death instead of spiritual life. And so the whole time that Nick has been alive on planet Earth, his mind has constantly received information from spiritual death, not spiritual life. So therefore, the only thing that Nick's mind really understands are things connected to spiritual death. But here's the problem. Nick doesn't know this. Because if you tell Nick, but Nick, you're dead, Nick says, excuse me, I'm right here in front of you and we are talking. I'm not dead. No, you don't understand, Nick. Spiritually, you're dead. And he says, what? What does that mean? Well, it means that you have spiritual death in you. What does that mean to a lost person? How many of you can think back to when you were not born again and somebody was trying to explain these kind of things to you and you thought they were goofy? Now, thank God, some way, somehow, you did come to an understanding that you did need Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how you came to that conclusion, but somehow you did, and praise God for it. However, here's what's interesting. As time goes on, we forget what it was like to be lost. And then we try to explain spiritual life things to a person's mind when they have no clue. And quite frankly, sometimes it's next to impossible to really witness to people. Because we're coming from the perspective of spiritual life and a mind that now at least has the opportunity to connect to spiritual life. And the person we're talking to, they don't have a clue. This is why it's so hard, sometimes, it can be so hard to witness to religious people. Because, now people that are out there in the world living like the devil, I mean, sometimes they can be easier to talk to about the things of God than religious people. Because religious people have now compounded the problem. Not only do they have spiritual death on the inside of them, but they have a mind that's connected to spiritual death, but has been trained by religious process. And that religious process has caused them to come to the place of thinking in a religious fashion, yet connected to spiritual death. So they have been told the religion makes them okay. You're trying to explain to them, no, it doesn't. And they're saying, but yes, it does, because I go to a church and our pastor, whatever, has told me such and such. And this is especially true in the area of cults. Man, oh man, oh man. There are some cults, one in particular. They do use this right here. It's called the Holy Bible. But they also have another one that they call a Second Testament of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, when Christians are confronted with them, they're trying to communicate on a spiritual life level, but on the other side, those people, usually a tag team, are trying to connect to them from the religious perspective. Two mindsets, okay, going at it. Both ignoring this right here. Now, here's what I mean. If you try to use just quoting scripture, that won't work. What you have to do is understand how to relate to them from their perspective. Well, how do you do that? Very simple. You could start off like this. Okay, we have two books here. Now, this one looks a whole lot like the one that I have. This one, nope, it doesn't. But let me ask you a question. Which one came first? This one or this other one that you have? They're going to tell you this one right here. Then you can say, well, okay then. Let's work with the one that came first, then work with yours. And as soon as you say that, they're going to start getting shaky. And you want to know why? It's because they have not been trained to understand this one. They understand the other one. But the moment you get them to admit which one came first, now you've got them in a position to where they're going to have to work with you from your perspective. And now, I'm not telling you you're going to win them over, but what I'm saying is, by the time the conversation is finished, they're going to have a lot of stuff going around on the inside of their heads that will cause them to question things that they have heard. Now, here we have, we're trying to witness to lost people. You know the best way to win a lost person? Really. It's not through your logic, because your logic is going to be based upon spiritual life and their spiritual death. They don't understand. Best way is to do the same thing that happened Philip in Samaria. He went in preaching Jesus, but he also demonstrated Jesus. You start praying for people and healings, different things start, you know, casting out devils and stuff. That stuff begins to happen, and even a spiritual death mindset person is going to say, wait a minute. What is this? You're telling me this Jesus. I don't understand it all. Of course you don't, because you haven't experienced it yet. But I can't deny what I'm seeing. Jesus, I don't see you. I've never touched you, but I believe you're alive. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. That is the best way to win people. It's for us to go so deep into God that the power of God is flowing through us, and they can't deny what they're seeing. Now, you know, again, you're not going to win everybody, because even in Scripture, it details times when the power of God was demonstrated and people rejected. I mean, you know, Jesus, blind eyes, deaf ears, lame legs, dead people, and they still wanted to kill him. It makes no sense. Of course not. Because they're thinking from the standpoint of somebody that's spiritually dead. All right, now let's take this the next step. Lost people cannot relate to life people. You know what I'm saying? Because lost people have a mindset that is connected to spiritual death. Now, people that are born again, they have a new mindset, if you will. They have an ability to receive training that's going to cause them to understand things from God's perspective, mind of Christ, etc., and so forth. However, think with me now. Have you ever, those of you filled with the Holy Ghost, have you ever tried to carry on a filled with the Holy Ghost conversation with somebody who's not filled with the Holy Ghost? It's the same thing, is it not? Because the person who's not filled is communicating with you from the standpoint of, yes, I'm born again, but I have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I do not have a mindset that is capable of receiving that kind of Holy Spirit input. So I communicate to you from the perspective of a born-again person not filled with the Holy Spirit. And here we are, we're showing them verses in the Bible and trying to explain these things to them, but can't you see that? Well, yeah, I can read it, but that's not what it means. It means something else. No, it doesn't. Leave it in the context. And then you leave it in the context and walk them through it. And if you watch them, their eyeballs start spinning in opposite directions because they don't understand. And you can show it and show it and show it, and they still don't understand. And they keep trying to explain to you how you're wrong. And here you are, third person of the Godhead inside, saying, go get them, go get them. And they don't connect with you. How many of you have experienced things like that before? Can you see how it's the same thing? It's the exact same type of scenario. It's just that now you have two people with spiritual life. It's just that one of them does not have that spiritual life. I'll say it this way. They don't have that spiritual life connected with the Holy Ghost. I know I'd take some flack for saying it, but that's the best I can come up with at the moment. They don't have that spiritual life connected with the Holy Ghost, and so therefore they cannot carry on a conversation about what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you could explain to them, you know, they'll look at you and they'll say, well, I don't understand it. And you can say, well, I know, I didn't either. But, and
well, what happened?
And then you try to explain what happened. That can just make it worse. Especially when you start talking a whole lot about feelings. Because a lot of people don't want to hear about your feelings. You mean I'm supposed to feel this? I'm supposed to feel that? You know, well, I've got just as much the Holy Ghost as you do, and I never had goosebumps. You don't know, wait a minute. Yeah, you're born again, but this is different. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Anybody been there before? You are the one saying it's not different. And I, exactly. Well, again, praise God. We, you know, something happened along the way to where we understood about the next step. And we were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we understand what those people were trying to tell us. Just like the lost person, when they get born again, they finally understand what those Christians have been trying to tell them all those years. Well, now they know, because they have that spiritual life on the inside, and they now have the mind of Christ that can be infused with Christ knowledge. Then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you understand what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now you know all those crazy charismatics, those nutso Pentecostal people. Now I know why they're so crazy and nutso. This was cool. I wish I hadn't waited so long. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. So now we understand. But we're going to take it even further. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we're trying to convince you to pray in tongues.
I don't understand.
Well, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
And evidence of speaking in tongues, right?
Right.
Well, just pray in tongues. But what do I say? You say, shamalama ding dong, and hope it comes out right. You just, you know, you remember what it was like when you got filled?
Yeah.
Tongues came out.
Yeah.
Well, do it again. But what do I say? No. The Holy Ghost, He's the one that does the saying. You remember how it was. Do it. Just do it. Just do it. But, I don't understand that. Why should I do that? Well, then you take them back over to 1 Corinthians 14, you take them to Romans 8, you take them to Jude, and you read verse 20, and it's like, huh? Well, you look at it, you read it. Well, yeah, I see it, but I don't, I mean, what's he mean here? My spirit is praying. I mean, how can my spirit pray when I'm not saying anything? But you will be saying something, but it will be in tongues. Well, what am I supposed to say? Well, it's in tongues, but how can I say it if I don't know what I'm saying? Well, that's what Paul said. My understanding is unfruitful. But that didn't make any sense. Why should I say something I don't know what I'm saying? If I don't know what I'm saying, how's God know what I'm saying? Nobody knows what... And then everybody's confused. Oh, I don't know about this. I'll go find me a church that'll let me stay spirit-filled and not tell me about this other stuff. You ever had that experience before? Sure. And the thing is, once you can get somebody to the place of making that decision to pray in tongues, and they keep doing it, eventually they will say, wow, I wish I had been doing this all along. Now I understand. Really? Yes. Okay, now, how does all this work? Well, look over in John chapter 16. Look what Jesus said in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why not? Because you're not born again. Really? Well, Jesus, if you're getting ready to go to the cross and you're getting ready to leave, but yet you got a whole lot of things that you want to say to me and I can't handle it now, if you're gone, who's going to tell me? He tells you in the next verse. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And if you look back over in chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, who is supposed to be doing the teaching and the instructing? The Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's go all the way back to our lost friend. Nick, remember him? Do you understand the goal is not simply to get Nick born again? The goal is to get him to the place of receiving instruction from the Holy Spirit. That's where we're supposed to lead him. How do you know that, Brother Martin? Isn't that where Jesus led them? And if we're supposed to follow his pattern, then leading somebody to get born again and leaving them there, we're failing. Our responsibility is to do what Jesus has done or did for them. He led them to be born again, to accept him as Savior, and then he told them, I have more to say, I won't be here, but the Holy Spirit, he's going to do it. So he was leading them, and then he said, you know, tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled. He was leading them to the place so that the Holy Spirit could pick up where he left off and take them as far as they would allow themselves to be taken into God and into the understanding of Scripture, the understanding of God's Word. He's the Spirit of Truth. Now, what does that say about us? Okay, let's look at this illustration here again on the PowerPoint. Up on the top was a language we don't know, but underneath is a language we do know. Well, until... let's just put it this way. The blank screen would represent the lost person. The words in English, God loves you, would represent being born again, but the words above it represent the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, as we progress in this, the only way that we're going to get to that language we don't know, don't understand, is if we get to the Holy Spirit level. That's the only way. But now what happens when we get to that point? The Holy Spirit then is able to kick in and start teaching us on that spiritual level so that we develop the mind of Christ to the point that we're now thinking like Jesus. And as we begin thinking like Jesus, we're going to be understanding God's Word in the way that God wants us to understand it. You're in John 14 still? All right, remember, look here at the beginning of this. In John 14, verses, well, let's look at 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, when God gave those words, he had no intention for those words to be used at funerals to talk about heaven and a big mansion up in glory. So what do? I've got a mansion. Just over, we create songs about our mansion up in glory. And that is not what this is talking about. He was talking about the position that he held with the Father, sonship. He was preparing the same place for us. Now, we've taught on this before. And God gave us his word. His intention is for us to understand it this way. However, if we stop growing spiritually, if we only go to the born-again point and we're receiving education, spiritual education, only at that level, then what we're doing is we're disallowing the Holy Spirit what He is supposed to be doing in our life, what He wants to do in our lives. But what we haven't done is taken the people with us in the same direction that Jesus took these people. He took them to the cross, be born again. He took them to the upper room to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they could begin praying in tongues and so that the Holy Spirit could pick up where Jesus left off. But now if we're only born again, I mean, praise God, you know, that sounds kind of like a bad, only born again. Well, praise God for only born again, amen. But you understand what I'm saying. If we're only born again, and we have excluded the Holy Spirit or not allowed Him to become a part of what He wants to do and why He was given, we are not allowing the third person of the Godhead to instruct us the way that He has been sent to instruct us. Now, turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When Paul was writing here, and we've gone through this many times, in verse 6 he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So from verse 6 up to verse 12, he's talking about the difference between, really, ultimately, he's talking about the difference between a lost person and a born-again person trying to understand things. But now let's think of it from this perspective. Spiritually, we have the ability to receive instruction from God. Spiritually, we have the ability to relate to the mind of Christ or the thought process of Jesus Himself. Spiritually, God now is revealing things to us. And if you stop, though, at verse 12, you don't understand how this information gets fully relayed to us. Because in verse 13 he says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." The Holy Ghost teacheth. The Holy Ghost teacheth. So what he's saying is, look, if you're going to understand the mysteries, the hidden things, it has to be done on a spiritual level with an encounter or an experience or an education process with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what's interesting. I can stand up and I can go through certain passages of Scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, these things, to folks that are Spirit-filled. I'll give you a really good example. In Romans chapter 8, where we talked about, and not only in Romans chapter 8, but particularly there, where you have the word Spirit sometimes with a capital S, and it shouldn't be a capital S because it's not talking about the Holy Ghost, it's talking about your born-again Spirit. Well, see, that is something that God wants us to understand. But we have not related to Him and to His Word on a spiritual level. We have related to it on an educational level, meaning a natural, carnal, religious type of mindset. You say, "Well, no, Brother Martin, I never did that." Well, sure, because as long as we were thinking everything capital S is Holy Ghost, we weren't thinking with the mind of Christ. We were thinking with a religious mindset. Now, I can go through and walk, through Romans chapter 7. There's another good one. Our religious mindset has told us that Romans chapter 7 is talking about a Christian with a sin nature. That's not what Paul was talking about at all. So here I could stand up and walk verse by verse through Romans 7, start in Romans 6, start in Romans 5, and walk forward all the way through into Romans chapter 8 in a room full of people that are Spirit-filled. And if they've never heard teaching like that before, they will have a tendency to get up and some of them, if not all, "I don't know about all this. After all, it is a capital S." Okay, fine. Go home with the tape. Listen, follow along in the Word, and let the Holy Ghost take over. Pray in tongues. Now, here's what will happen if you'll do that. It may take you 2 or 3 or 4 times through that tape and through those verses. But eventually, you'll probably get to the point to where you may turn that tape off and go with it on your own while you're praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit is going to show you. Oh, the light is just going to go off and you're going to see it. And in your mind, you may think, how did I miss this all these years? And the Holy Spirit will say, because you weren't allowing me to help you. Now, here's what will happen. Here's what can happen in general. Lost people cannot relate to life, so they can't understand God's Word from a life perspective. From a religious perspective, yes, but not from a life perspective. Born-again people cannot understand God's Word from a Spirit-filled perspective because they don't understand the verses the same way. Spirit-filled people do not understand the praying in tongues verses, if you will, because they haven't been praying in tongues to the point of understanding what those verses are talking about. Taking it from there, our understanding of Scripture, and I'm not just talking about a surface understanding, all right? We are talking about the deep things of God, okay? Our understanding of Scripture is going to be directly proportionate to our praying in tongues. Because what Paul said there in that 13th verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, not in the words man's wisdom teacheth, but in the words the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So if here we are tonight, we don't understand. You know, I heard the teaching about fasting, but I really don't understand it. You pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to work to help you begin to gain that understanding. Remember, He's going to help you to get to the place that you have the same mindset or thought process as Jesus. Now, Jesus understands about fasting. Jesus understands about worship. Jesus understands about speaking the Word of God. Jesus understands about praying in tongues. If you ask Him, now Jesus, you know, I've heard all this stuff, but you tell me, Jesus, is this praying in tongues stuff, is this really for me? He's going to say, wait a minute. What do you see in the Word? Didn't I say that the Father is going to send the Holy Ghost? Didn't I say He would teach you? What did Paul write? Read these things. What does it say? Well, Jesus, yeah, I see it, but are you sure that's what you want me to do? And Jesus is going to say, yes, because the Holy Spirit is the only one down there right now, the only person in existence there with you who has the ability to communicate to you and with you directly, spirit to spirit. People can't do that. Only He can. Yes, I want you to pray. So, as we begin to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is then going to be able to help us come to a greater and deeper understanding of God's Word. We get to the place of understanding that in John chapter 14, He wasn't talking about a big, big house on Glory Avenue up in heaven. He was talking about us holding the same position with the Father as He did. Jesus, a child of God. We'll come to the place of understanding what Jesus was talking about. When he says, you know, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the law. We'll come to the place of understanding in Romans chapter 7 where Paul talked about how that we're dead to the law. Those verses have been in there all of our Christian lives. And even though we've read them, we have not understood them with the mind of Christ. We've had a religious mindset understanding, but not a mind of Christ understanding. So the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us get past the religious mindset understanding and move into the mind of Christ mindset understanding. So that we could, figuratively speaking, pull up a chair with Jesus at the dinner table and talk the Word of God and be on the same plane. And He wouldn't say anything to us that would really confound us. Now, I know that sounds pretty far-fetched, and I'll be honest with you. I know it's a possibility, but I still think He's going to know more than we will. No matter how much we pray in tongues, I still think He's going to know more. But you understand the concept I'm getting at. We will be able to have an understanding of God's Word. Now, take it a step further. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the more we pray in tongues, is the more the Holy Spirit is communicating with us on a spiritual level concerning the things of God, and the more He's leading us into the mindset of Christ thought process concerning the Word of God, then the more our faith is going to be developed, which, interestingly, is exactly what Jude said. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Walking by faith, another way to put it would be living according to everything that God has said in His Word, based upon the mindset of Christ, not the religious mindset. The religious mindset will argue about, by His stripes you were healed. The mind of Christ does not argue that point at all. The mind of Christ understands it and acts as such. So when it comes to us understanding the Word of God and getting to a place of going beyond where we are right now and what we understand according to Scripture, the only way it's going to happen, I'm talking about getting to the mind of Christ, you know, headed in that direction, that level, headed toward that point. The only way it's going to happen is if we spend time praying in tongues. Because for some of us that have been around, you know, for a long time as Christians, compare how much we knew before we started praying in tongues and how much we understand since we started praying in tongues. You know what? My guess is this. If you've only been praying in tongues, I don't mean like, you know, once 5 minutes a week or so. I'm talking about, you know, you praying in tongues. My guess is this. 3 years of praying in tongues will take you to the place of understanding more Scripture than you did in 20 years of, quote, serving Christ. That's because now you've gone to the source. And you've let Him take over. So again, our understanding of Scripture, I mean the deep understanding, the mind of Christ type of understanding, is directly proportionate to our praying in tongues. Another way to put this is this. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more the Holy Ghost is going to be able to open the Word of God to you in a way no human being could ever possibly do. Now, I can't speak for anyone but myself. That excites me. Because what that means is this. I pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And one day I open my Bible and I start reading, and all of a sudden, I am seeing a passage through the eyes of Christ instead of the eyes of religion. And I am understanding a divine principle that will change my life. Praise God. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God for the ability to pray in tongues. I want a deeper understanding of Scripture because I know it's going to have permanent, lasting effect on my life. Praise the Lord.